Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome to the 11th episode of Babes of Wonderland. I'm one of your hosts, Ashley Hay.
And I'm your other host, Laurel Deneen.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Yes. If you've never listened to Babes of Wonderland, if this is your first time, what we do is each episode we'll take a different Disney film, then we'll give you the history of that film, maybe correlating some of the themes to other properties, social issues, maybe something in pop culture. And this week we're discussing Hocus Pocus for our Halloween episode. We're super excited to discuss this one.
Amok.
It's such a good one. It's become such a great cult classic. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find someone who has not seen this movie now.
Right. And it came out kind of the perfect time for our age. It came out in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So we were eight, nine-ish, which is about the time that, about the age that Thora Birch is.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, she's one of the main characters. She's the little girl.
She's Danny.
It's directed by Kenny Ortega. Obviously has Bette Midler.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with Bette Midler. It's also starring Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy
Najimy.
Written by Neil Cuthbert and Mick Garris. It's based on the story by Garris and David Kishner. So Kishner also produced it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he came up with the story one night that he and his young daughter were sitting outside and his neighbor's black cat strayed by. As the cat walked by, Kishner invented this tale of how the cat was once a boy who was changed into a feline 300 years ago by three witches.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, you would hope a writer producer would have that kind of imagination.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting also that it was originally supposed to be like a Disney Channel movie that were all those ones that were coming out, like Halloween Town and stuff.
Right.
And then they kind of got into the script and they're like, wait a second, this could actually be a feature film. Like, it has enough appeal and enough interest in it to, you know, be something bigger.
Right. Well, and, you know, they had just, this was around the time that Midler had won a Golden Globe for The Down and Out in Beverly Hills that she was in. And she, you know, it's one of the reasons that we are so obsessed with Midler, at least like our age, other than Beaches.
See, I was never really into either of those movies.
How dare you?
How dare you? I loved Bette Midler because my parents used to watch her like Broadway one-woman show.
Oh,
like,
sure.
They had that on video cassette to age myself. Divine Madness is what it was called. I remember at one point she's like a mermaid. And that was, like, as a child, I was like, yes. And she sung and she did all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was so fun. So when she was in that, and then I was also obsessed with First Wives Club.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Same. My mom was like, this is an inappropriate movie for you to watch because it's about, like, first wives and divorce. I was like, it's okay, Mom. I'm going to have to learn about divorce at some point in my life. So
I'd like to do it with Bette Midler singing in the background.
Yeah. And Goldie Hawn. Mm-hmm. And what's her name?
Diane Keaton.
Yes.
Yes, Diane Keaton is amazing. I love that she cannot sing at all.
No.
Like, compared to the other two. The other two can actually sing.
Yeah.
And they just kind of play it up and just work with it. Anyways, we're here talking about Hocus Pocus, but which also has singing in it.
It does have singing
amazing
in it.
Amazing singing, because Bette Midler is amazing.
Right. And Sarah Jessica Parker can also sing.
Mm-hmm.
She sings the song Come Little Children.
That is the creepiest song that I used to sing all the time as a child.
Yeah. Super creepy.
Every time you watch that movie, that song gets stuck in your head, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that when I was looking up a lot of the stuff, I was talking about there's been these rumors of sequels for super long. And while Bette has said when she was filming that movie, it's the most fun she had ever had in her career until that point. She's like, no. After all these years and all the fan demand, I do believe I can stand and firmly say an unequivocal no into a response of there's not going to be a sequel. And yet, Doug Jones, who plays Billy, he's kind of a prosthetic makeup monster extraordinaire
actor. He's great.
Mentioned that Disney had been considering a sequel and behind-the-scenes discussions were in place to possibly continue the series. So I don't know if it's maybe not a sequel, but maybe it's a show or a miniseries. I mean, Netflix?
That would be awesome.
Would that be awesome?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to imagine it going on, though, because Binx is gone. Binks has moved on. Binks was such a big part, I think, for especially like the kids. Yeah. Like, it was such a magical part. Mm-hmm. And you could bring the Sanderson sisters back, but why?
I think it would be interesting.
It's so great as is.
To do like a prequel of their shenanigans.
Prequel would be totally cool.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think afterwards work so much, but yeah. A prequel of definitely the Sanderson sisters and all the terrible things they used to do. I mean, it would be dark.
It would get really dark really quickly is the only issue for a Disney property.
I mean, they steal kids' souls.
Yeah, exactly. So. They suck the lives out of the children of Salem. So yeah. It's not a happy-go-lucky tale. You can try to stardust it, I guess, but it's not really kind of...
I don't know if you can Disney-fy that,
yeah.
Those eerie beginnings. So yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, or you haven't seen it in a while, basically to kind of get you up to speed or refresh your memory, mm-hmm. It's a story of the Sanderson sisters, who are these three witches. They're not good witches.
No, they are not good people.
No, they're not good people. To stay young, they steal souls of children. Some people in their village, this is, you know, very pilgrimish days, find mm-hmm. out, burn them at the stake, but then they have this curse that say a virgin has to light our candle, the black flame candle, on the full moon, and it will bring us back.
Yep.
Like, we'll be back. That happens.
That, obviously, to that forward happens. The plot, it
yes,
happens.
It happens to more of a modern day, you know, 93. It's Thora Birch.
Omar Katz.
Yep. And they also curse the boy who tries to save his sister that they kill before they are burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. And he's a black, all-black cat named Binks, which mm-hmm. is where the story, apparently, you know, from Fishner got its start. And if you didn't have a crush on Binks...
You are a liar.
You are a liar.
This
liar
is a Devin Sawa as Casper moment for yeah. the women in the 90s.
Pretty much.
Young girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You loved Binks.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he gets killed, you're like, oh. You do what Thora does. You break down. You're yeah. like, no, no.
You're like, what?
Yeah, and he goes.
It's not okay.
And then he just like inflames like a balloon.
Inflates.
Inflates.
Inflames would be very disturbing.
That would be super disturbing.
Yeah, but he does like kind of inflate and then just shake it off.
Right.
But yeah, he was totally. And then he grew up to be on NCIS.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hmm. I would watch some of those episodes with him.
He's in it, I think, for the majority. So I think.
Okay, well, that's how far behind I am in NCIS. Give me a break.
I don't watch the show regularly. I will say that as a teenager coming home from high school, it was on TNT a lot. So yeah. That's one of those boredom things. When you get home, you don't want to do your homework.
Right. But there's nothing else on other than
like
Judge
that,
Judy.
Lois and Clark.
Oh, Lois and Clark. That's right. Okay, focus. So, so it's basically them trying to save their town from the three Sanderson sisters.
Yep.
The Sanderson sisters want to get young again, so they want to steal all the children.
Mm-hmm. And they have to steal their souls by the time the sun rises, otherwise they'll turn to dust.
Right. So it's kind of a race against the clock.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite parts is when all the parents are at this like crazy dance party.
The Halloween party.
And they, I Put a Spell on You song.
When Bette Midler sings I Put a Spell on You, it is the most iconic part of the entire movie. If you go to Disney World at all during Halloween, they definitely have the Sanderson sisters in their Halloween show right now. They did last year as well when I was there, and they sung that.
Oh god.
And it was so great.
It literally put a spell on you.
I was like, I will buy these expensive tickets just to see this one song perform.
Just this one song.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's so iconic. And then just how then the parents have to dance till they die, and it's just they're just doing all these terrible dance moves.
Oh, like all these 90s voguing dance moves.
Yeah.
And the mom is like this very 90s version of Madonna.
Oh, with the comb
with
bra.
With the comb bra, yeah.
Yep. And like the super high ponytail, mm-hmm. almost kind of Dream of Genie-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
And then at one point, we already talked about Doug Jones, but the Sanderson sisters want help, right? So mm-hmm. she brings out Billy, who is her old lover that sews his mouth shut because she finds that he was kissing her sister Sarah. He's one of the best parts. He's just this kind of like, he's kind of the goofy lumber.
Yeah, the way that lurchy. He kind of physically articulates his character is really fun.
Yeah.
He definitely has that lumbering kind of clumsiness, but at the same time, like, because he's a zombie, basically.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which he would have decomposed way more over 300 years, but leaving that aside. I mean,
yeah.
It's still a really fun costume. Like, they did a great job on designing that character. Yeah. And Doug Jones, who's been, like we said, we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. Abe Zapien.
Yep.
He's been the guy in Pan's Labyrinth with the eyes and the hands.
Yep.
So he's done a lot of work with, he's basically like a character actor, but with prosthetics.
Right. Yeah. Totally. His mannerisms speak so much, even mm-hmm. when he doesn't want to do what Winifred says, uh-huh. but he's compelled to because she, you know, he's cursed by her now, essentially.
I don't even know if he's doing what he wants to do. At the end, he protects them. So he does. I think that maybe he's just trying to catch up with them so that he can get them away from them. Like, I don't even know. That could like, be. They don't really, you know, say if he was actually chasing after him for Winifred or if he was just trying to, like, find someone who got the situation that he's an actual zombie.
Right.
And she wants them away from her. Because the moment he cuts its mouth open, he calls Bette Midler a whole bunch of names.
Yep.
But I loved when Bette Midler is my favorite. I mean, you can't not love Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah.
I love her to death. But Kathy Najimy in this is so fun when she comes out on the vacuum cleaner.
Yep.
And their brooms get stolen. Also, I wonder what happened to those kids that stole the brooms and flew off during trick-or-treating.
They died.
It was not a happy ending for those kids.
No.
Or they just have a magical broom for the rest of their lives and it's just a big secret.
Yeah, because I don't think that the Winifred sisters' stuff turned to dust when they did.
No, because the book's still around, right?
Right. And didn't the brooms fall when they turned to dust?
Yes, they did. And those when they're yeah. So I'm just like, okay, but yeah, that was a super fun part. Is just right. Kathy and Jimmy's whole look was fun. Like the way she contorted her face to make herself look really awkward.
Right.
Because really, she's a very pretty girl.
She is.
Like woman, she's a bigger girl, but she has these great features. And,
yeah.
And you just saw her, and I'm like, you're amazing. Like, well, you had to keep that on for hours. That right. look with your lips all askew. I'm like,
and her like. I love hair, what they did with her hair because it made it look kind of like a witch hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the funny face that she made was kind of trying to be this nod to maybe a different looking witch.
Like kind of the crone, the kind of stereotypical. Yeah.
Because Sarah Jessica Parker, she's, you know, the pretty, you know, kind of sexy witch, mm-hmm. you know, the one that can lure people in. Kind of a siren, if mm-hmm. you will. And Winifred is this...
She's kind of the powerful leader.
She is, but I almost want to... She's kind of like a Maleficent.
Yeah.
You know? Where she's in charge. Everybody kind of follow... You know, she's got her minions, the people that, mm-hmm. you know, follow her. And she's
boss. The smarts. Yeah.
She's just the boss. But even her lipsticks, how they styled them all with these little
quirks.
Yeah.
They're definitely very iconic. Like, if you see someone put lipstick on that themselves like that, mm-hmm. before they even finish putting on the costume, you know who they're going to be.
Right.
Like, it's just very iconic.
Yep. Totally. What was one of your favorite parts of the movie?
Oh, man. I can tell you one of my least favorite parts of the movie, and that is I really... cringe every time the Thora Birch, Danny and Max kind of interact. Like, when she's making fun of, like, him making out the pillow. I was like, this is very awkward. I don't need this part of the movie. I mean, I still love the movie, but I'm still like, oh, I feel awkward. And I'm one of those people that can't watch people embarrass themselves.
Right. It's
so hard. That's hard for me. But I think one of my favorite parts is actually in the cemetery when they put Danny in the grave and they put the salt around and, like... Yep. Billy's helping them and Binks and Max and they're all fighting the witches. I think mm-hmm. that team up at the end and that really, really the essence of those characters is trying to protect this little girl.
Right.
So that what happened to Binks doesn't happen to Max.
Right.
I think that's a really, not only a fun moment because it's a lot of the action.
Right.
But it's a powerful moment when you see that correlation.
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's what, even though those parts are really uncomfortable, that's obviously what they're trying to do mm-hmm. throughout the whole movie is to show that even though brothers and sisters fight, siblings fight, there still is that underlying, you know, compassion and love for each mm-hmm. other. Or at least there should be.
Yeah.
But she's also a lot younger than he is,
mm-hmm.
which creates this whole, different aspect. But yeah, some of those lines, yeah, I remember thinking, that's
weird.
That's awkward. And his female love interest.
Yeah.
She looks so much older.
She does look way older. And not just like she looks old. She just looks mature.
Yeah, she looks like she's 25.
She should be working in an office downtown somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, definitely a little bit older. And I don't know if it's because she's so tall. Like, she's just a tall girl.
Yeah, she was.
But yeah, she did look a little bit older.
Yeah, she looked a lot bit older. Yeah. And I don't know. Okay, and then maybe one of my favorite parts are also the bullies.
The bullies are pretty funny.
They're so...
Oh my gosh, when they're stuck in the cages at the end, Sarah is playing with them and spinning them around.
Yep.
I was like, yes, just desserts. I like it.
Yes. Well, and I, like, they're just such the epitome of 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Bully grunge, you know, with the flannel tied around their waist. I mean, one of them looks like Kurt Cobain.
Is trying to be, like, a hip-hop dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. He has ice shaved into the back of his head.
It's very Vanilla Ice and Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
That's who they're trying to be. And it's hilarious. It is... I wonder if it's as funny to kids that see it now because it's so 90s. Like, it is so of its time. But yeah, those bullies are pretty hilarious.
They don't have a large context of
what they're referring to with these characters. They're just like, oh, they're bullies, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, it still works. Yeah. But if you were young in the 90s, it has a special place.
Yeah. You knew that type of person.
I think that... It's like, I love the supporting cast, even though like Max is supposed to be the main character. I consider the witches the main cast.
Absolutely.
Because they are definitely the whole draw of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the singing is great. That's another one of my favorite parts because Bette Midler could perform the alphabet and I would watch it. You know, she's in doing Hello Dolly on Broadway right now.
I know.
That's my favorite musical. And it's one of my favorite singers. And I'm just like, I will give a kidney to go see that.
Like, does anybody need a kidney?
Excuse me. I want to see it so bad. But yeah, she's such a performer. And she's so fun. And she's this personality that doesn't care if she looks ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And she just does things and they work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I love watching her in this movie. And with the people, like, I'm not a huge Sarah Jessica Parker fan, mostly because all she did for a long time was Sex and the City. And it was fine, but it wasn't really my thing.
Right.
And in this movie, I really like her because she just plays up this dumb blonde thing. And Kathy Najimy is such a fun person to watch, too.
Yeah.
So they really had that chemistry down, which is really fun. And it really kind of, I feel like this movie kind of kicked off this era where witches were really popular again.
Yeah, well, they're super popular right now again. I mean, well, that's all I was for probably five Halloweens in a row.
Yeah.
I was just a witch, just a different witch. Because witches are, you know, amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But, like, after that, like, you had shows like Charmed come out.
The Craft came out. Yep.
Like, it was a big thing for a long time in pop culture was witches. Even good witches, bad witches, whatever.
It's true.
So it was interesting to see, like, is that coming from there? Or did that kind of kickstart it? Because I feel like that was really at the forefront of when they became popular again and when they were everywhere in TV and such.
Right. Well, because if you think about it, you know, in the 60s and 70s, there were... Okay, so, well, not 50s was Wizard of Oz, right?
40s.
That color TV. Okay, well, think of, like, Bewitched, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely 60s.
Definitely. And then, like, before that, they had Glinda and the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz, which was one of my favorites growing up, because I'm from Kansas City, so it's kind of like, you have to love Wizard of Oz.
I didn't know you were from Kansas City.
You're a horrible friend.
Well, this is our last show, guys.
Anyways. No. Yeah, I'm from Kansas City, so that's kind of everywhere.
Sure.
It still is today. If you go to Kansas City and go to a gift shop, it's all freaking Wizard of Oz stuff.
I mean, I would hope so.
Still.
I mean, yes. If it works, do it.
It does. But yeah, then you had, like, again in the 90s, like when we were young, Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of kicked off that, was part of that whole
90s
2000s. Supernatural TV shows. It was like that and Charmed on the WB.
Right.
Were big draws.
Dude, Charmed and Buffy both had how many, 8-9 seasons?
Yeah, they were big shows.
They were. And it's funny when we're saying all these other famous witches in, you know, TV, pop culture. And they're all so dramatically different.
Yeah.
Which is the awesome thing about...
The Sanderson sisters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can... Each one of these, you know, whether it's Samantha or Endora or Glinda,
mm-hmm.
like all of these different witches kind of fill into one of the Sanderson sisters. Because I don't feel like Mary was actually that bad. I think she was just going with what Winifred said. Yeah. And so there's just so much range you can do with a witch.
That's the thing, is like you could take any of the outfits that those witches wore and you can kind of know who it is without seeing the person.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, they're so iconic in such different ways with for all being the same type of magical character. And then now you have Harry Potter. Like that, that is one of the biggest things ever with Hermione and all Luna. And Luna's my favorite character, by the way.
She is great.
I love Luna.
She is.
Best. You have that whole range of magical people.
Or even like Melisandre from Game of Thrones, the red, mm-hmm. the red witch. I mean, you have all these witches, and they fall kind of in the middle. Like some of them are really bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then some of them are good. And then you like you know like Samantha, but then from Bewitched, but then her mom is just this kind of in the middle where she just like doesn't care that humans know that she has magic and she's
Endora is very much all about Endora.
She would have been a Malfoy. She would have been a Slytherin.
She is a Slytherin for sure,
without a shadow of a doubt.
She is like Salazar Slytherin's mom.
Yeah. Like, can we maybe make a fanfic of that? Because that would be amazing.
Okay. We can travel in time, right? That's totally possible.
And think of the craft too.
Yeah.
You know, you have four witches, and you have one that just kind of goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones kind of follow her too. To not do some nice things.
Yeah. So and then once it's finally like, we're done now. We need to stop.
Yep.
Yeah. So you have, I think magic is just a good way to show a range of emotions, but heightened circumstances
mm-hmm.
and heightened risks associated with those circumstances.
Well, it's like Spider-Man with great power comes
exactly.
great
responsibility. Exactly. It's like comic book characters.
Right. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Good or evil? Well, you're probably going to be in the middle somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that you have Glinda, who is like the stereotypical good witch,
mm-hmm.
then you have Maleficent or something who's like the stereotypical bad, and the rest kind of fall in a ray in between. Right.
Disney likes to do mostly, I find, bad witches, like Ursula the Sea Witch,
mm-hmm.
Madame Mim from The Sword and the Stone,
yes.
Maleficent. I mean, these are all witches. They're all the villains.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of an example that there are good witches.
Yeah, the only good character with magic that I can think of is Merlin.
Right.
And but he's a wizard, not a witch. That is an interesting point. There is a witch in Brave who is neither bad nor good.
Right.
Who gives the curse to turn Eleanor into a bear.
But she's pretty shady about it.
She's trying to escape life as a witch.
Oh, maybe.
She's
making all of her wood.
All of her bears.
All of her wood bear carvings. Yeah. I would take some of those. They're good.
Those are great.
Yeah, they're great.
Resale values through the roof.
Through the roof.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's the only witch I can think of that is not necessarily bad.
Right.
But yeah, it is kind of interesting. I would love to see a protagonist of a Disney film who mm-hmm. had magic.
Right.
I think like coming up with Moana, you'll see Maui, who's like a god who will have powers, but you know, that's not the same, no. You know?
Well, and I mean, I guess you could, I think you can consider Kiki's Delivery Service in the Disney collection because they have a chapter of Studio Ghibli, but it's still not quote unquote
Disney. And I love Kiki's Delivery Service.
It's great.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like that's not something that Disney was like, we're going to make this film.
Right.
And the main protagonist is a teenage witch.
It would be interesting if they went back, if they were going to do like the actual prequels, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If they did something like that. And it would show, it'd be great if they actually, the sister started off good.
Yeah.
And then what changed them?
I keep hearing that Disney's going to try to adapt Wicked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah.
I would definitely be up for seeing them take that on because I think they could do that really well, either mm-hmm. live action or animated. Live action preferred.
Right.
Because
yeah.
it would just be great. And it can be a little bit more adult when it's live action. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Elsa, you don't consider her a witch. She's not a witch. She just has power. So, yeah, I think it's a good point. They need a little bit more stronger. Well, I mean, we're getting stronger ladies, so it would make sense to, like, have some magic ladies. Mama Odie from Princess and the Frog is actually another one who is good.
She is good.
Like, she's teaching lessons and she's giving them the answers. She is a little bit enigmatic.
Sure.
With her answers. Like, yeah. She kind of knows how they can change back, but she also tells them the alternate way to change back.
Right.
So she's a good element. She's not not necessarily a protagonist. She's kind of a side character.
Sure.
But she is kind of the light to Dr. Facilier's dark.
Right.
So that is an example,
yeah,
I guess,
that's
like
a good
recently.
Example. Yeah, because, I mean, the only other one I can think of is Tangled, the mother, and because she's a witch.
Yeah, she's a witch, for sure.
But she bad.
Yeah. Mother Gothel is not a nice person.
Yeah. It does seem, after Hocus Pocus, there have been a lot more witches
in
Disney.
In general. Well, a lot of the early female...
Oh, Snow White,
I guess.
But she wasn't a witch. Her mom, or her stepmom wasn't really a witch.
She's called the Wicked Witch. Oh, she's called the Evil Queen.
Evil Queen, see?
Evil Queen, you're right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She has a magic mirror. She's got
She can
magic.
Transform her... She's a witch.
Okay, fine.
She can transform herself into a
witch.
We're figuring all this out along with you as you listen to us.
If you guys know of any good example of Disney witches...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could think Mary Poppins is kind of a witch.
Yeah, she's an interesting case because she's definitely magical.
Yeah.
And they don't ever explain how she's magical or why. No. We're just accepting that she's a magical nanny.
Right.
So,
but
yeah,
they don't
that's
give her a title.
No, not at all. Like, and she never, like, has a book, a spell book or potions or anything. She's just kind of a magical person. But there's also other magical elements in the world of Mary Poppins, like Uncle Alfred who floats on the ceiling.
Right.
That does not necessarily have to do with her.
That's true.
So it's maybe just that kind of universe.
Yeah. But. I find it funny, too, that in Hocus Pocus, it took all of the beginning of the movie took place during kind of the Salem witch trials and blah, 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 blah. And how, you know, we've all come to learn and read that none of these people are really witches. These people were just, like, straight up homies doing some stuff that other people were like, blah, blasphemy, that's devil worshipping, blah, blah, blah.
And it was largely a group of women who didn't like other women. Like, if someone slept with your husband, they would accuse you of witchcraft.
Right.
It was very sordid and very wrong.
And you didn't have to have any proof.
Mm-mm.
But I would have liked, here's what I would have liked. I kind of wanted in Hocus Pocus, I kind of always wanted this to happen throughout, that Max would have been a witch. Like, that she would have, like, had powers or something that you would find that... Because if these are witches, wouldn't you expect that there'd still be witches in this timeline?
Yeah, Danny or Max to have some kind of powers would have been awesome. I totally agree. I used to think that as a kid, too.
Yep.
I think I expected that the first time I watched the movie, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like, let's have some light magic along with the dark magic.
Right.
They had, like... Disney had, at that time, like, Halloween Town.
Right.
Which is about, like... girl, like a young girl who was a witch and she's good.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like very childish. Like, all the costumes were really exaggerated. And it was fun, but it was definitely for smaller kids.
Sure.
But it would have been fun to explore that in Hocus Pocus for sure.
I know. I just always wanted, because she was already dressed like a witch.
Mm hmm.
Danny was. And so it's kind of like, it would have been a good twist to have him be the witch just because, you know,
like,
gender norms.
I'm pissed off because I had moved to Salem where I have stereotypes staring at me and I
right.
That would have been fun.
Yes, see, that would have been maybe that was too deep
for Disney movie in the 90s.
For 93.
We're getting a little bit deeper as we move along in Disney history.
Yeah.
But in the 90s it was a lot of kind of on the surface.
Yeah. I mean, that's Little Mermaid era.
We're doing that next. It has to be our next episode.
We have to. Okay. Out of 5 Mickey heads, how many do you give it?
I'd say I would give it 3.
3?
One for each witch.
Oh, girl. That's, you're clever. I like that. Why 3?
Why 3? The story is not that great. Let's be honest. Like, we haven't discussed, like, kind of the downfalls of the movie yet.
Right.
We just discussed, like, the fun parts, which are very fun.
Yeah.
The story is not that great. I think that they could have done better with the Danny Max relationship as far as establishing it instead of having her be a stalker that hides in his closet and, like, have awkward sexual situations.
Right.
I think that they could have done better with that. I give it 3 because the actresses who play the witches are amazing. Mm-hmm. The costuming is amazing. Billy is amazing. Set design was great.
Binks
is great, despite really bad visual effects.
I mean, he's still
back in the day, were not that bad. If you watched it back in the day, you're like, this is great.
He's better than Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, true story.
Yeah.
That was like he's at least better. Broken animatronic.
I know.
But yeah, no, it's good for that. But yeah, I think they could have done a lot more with the story. I think they should have had more music. If you have that cast,
yeah,
you need a little bit more music. Instead, yeah. Like the chanting they did musically, but it wasn't like enough. I feel like you could have at least pulled one more musical number in there.
Yeah, one more song.
To just kind of make, if you're going to make it a musical, make it a musical.
Right.
You know?
Right.
How about you?
I'm going to give it, a 3 is kind of perfect. Because I think what your issues with Danny and Max are is mine always felt like they made it almost too kind of, they didn't make it very brother-sister. They made it kind of more romantic feeling than it needed to be. I always was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of relationship. Like, the beginning of the movie for the relationship was weird, and I think it got back on track, like, when he took her trick-or-treating reluctantly.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that was a little bit more realistic.
Right.
But, yeah, the hiding in the closet sexual situation was very odd. Yeah. It was very awkward.
Yeah. And, yeah, same kind of problems. The story is pretty loose.
Mm-hmm.
But the witches are hilarious. When they go to walk on the road for the first time and they think it's a black river.
Yeah. And they just push Sarah into it.
Yeah. And then she just jumps on it like, wee!
Tis firm.
And how they walk like,
yeah.
Hand dresses. In hand. So like 1 foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really great things about it. It's pretty much a classic Halloween.
Yeah, definitely.
And in my book. But yeah, throw me another Bette Midler song, please.
Yeah, just something to like round it out, because right. I feel like there was so much music in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just add one more song and make it a musical,
right?
You know,
yeah.
It's just also a short film, so I kind of get,
yeah,
you know, why they didn't. I like it, and I don't like the scene where they think the guy is the devil. And they go into his house.
Oh, that's right.
It gets really awkward.
It's creepy with Sarah.
It gets creepy. Like, that guy is creepy.
Dude, that guy is, like, super taking advantage of some really confused
women. In the house with
his
wife.
Yeah.
So that part was kind of like, it's funny at first when they think he's Satan and they're like, master. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah.
But then it gets really creepy quickly. And I'm like, this is a child's film. Like, this is a family film. So that was also kind of one of the reasons where I'm like, three is good.
That part. Bleh. Yeah. So 3. We both give it a unanimous 3.
Yep.
That's
definitely
fair.
Definitely part of the season. Like, definitely fun to watch once a year when the season rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
Never go wrong with Bette Midler.
Nope.
Period.
Nope. I haven't yet. All right.
So, and to go along with this episode this time, you did an interview.
I did do an interview. So my friend Chrissy Lynn is a amazing makeup and hair artist, but she also does costume stuff too. And she, for the last few years, has been doing a Sanderson Sisters group, and she's the Mary, and she has her face, like, lip thing down perfectly. I mean, 2 years ago, I think it was, even ABC had a photo of them during the, 31 days of Halloween.
Fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because they all look exactly like them. And so I did an interview with her. She's been in some of my other Disney groups in the Superhero Disney. She was Esmeralda.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so she's done a lot of costume groups, and she's one of the nicest people. When I went to Disneyland in June, it was her birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we got day drunk and
As you should.
And walked around and celebrated her birthday. So,
awesome. Well, check out babesofwonderland.com for that. That's coming up. That sounds awesome.
Yep.
It'd be great to, like, see how they kind of do it, because Halloween is coming up, and that'd be such a great costume to do.
Oh, I know. So I know. Fun. I asked her in it if she plans to do any more of that costume before the season's out, so check it out.
Yeah.
Go to babesofwonderland.com. Check out the interview, and thank you to Fancy Pants Gangsters, as always, for having us on their network. And make sure you're checking out all their other podcasts. They're all super cool. There's a great mix of things. So, you're bound to find something else you want to listen to.
Exactly. And we're also on all the social media. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to get in contact with us, you can just use the hashtag WonderBabes.
Mm-hmm. Or message us.
Or message us. Direct message us is probably the quickest, let's be honest.
You can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spreaker. So, you know, make sure you're subscribing.
Easy way to get the, make sure you get it when it comes out is just to subscribe.
Yep. Subscribe.
If you'd like to know that you're listening, so yes. It's awesome for us.
Yeah. And congratulations to our winner.
Yes. Anthony Mark won our Beauty and the Beast giveaway.
Woot.
That should be coming his way. Probably should be there by the time this comes out.
Probably.
But yeah, we'll do another giveaway soon. We love, you know, the participation that comes around when we do giveaways. So
I thought it was funny. Most people for the Beauty and the Beast one said a broom or a mop.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I'd do that. I could see that. Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned till our next episode, and thanks always for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.